Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing to teach on a series that I've entitled The Word Became Flesh. I have a CD album on this. I have a DVD album that was taken from television. And then I have a DVD album that was taken from a live teaching that I did on this in 2008 in Fort Worth, Texas. And I'm doing a condensed version of this teaching. There are five teachings in this, but I'm only going to really highlight the portion that concerns the virgin birth of Jesus, because it is a tremendous example of the Word became flesh. I'm going to teach along some of these same lines after the first of the year as we get into a new series. It's entitled The Authority of the Believer. So this is going to be an abbreviated teaching, but I think I said this on Monday, that this teaching is the one that my wife says that she likes better than anything else I've ever taught. And she's heard me teach a lot of stuff. So I really believe that this is awesome. I would encourage you to get a copy of it. I've already been talking about in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, that Jesus was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in John 1, 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so Jesus is God in the flesh, but it specifically refers to Him as the Word. And I think this is really significant. And then I begin to start laying a foundation to answer two of the questions that I had since the time I was a little kid. One of those questions was, why did God have to become a man to provide our salvation? If He was God, couldn't He just have forgiven our sins? Why did He have to become a man and go through this suffering and this rejection and this pain to redeem us? And my second question was, why did He wait 4,000 years after the fall of Adam and Eve before He came? And I've had those two questions, and I really never had a satisfactory answer to it until the Lord started showing me some of these things. And so I started on the end of yesterday's program showing that God never violates His Word. It says in Psalms 89, verse 34, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone forth out of my lips." It says in Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 18, it says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. God never lies. He never changes. I also used Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 that says that Jesus upholds everything by the word of His power. And it was talking about everything in creation. Everything in creation was spoken by God. God spoke it into existence. It was created by words. It responds to words. And again, I mentioned this earlier, but this is worth noting again because our society just does not put this kind of an importance on words. We say all kinds of things that we don't mean. We lie. We misrepresent. We exaggerate. And even if you sign a contract, if you hire the right lawyer, you can break the contract. You can get out through a loophole. But God's not like that. When God says something, it is binding to Him. He cannot lie. He will never misrepresent anything. He upholds the entire universe is held together by the power of His Word. You know, I heard Oral Roberts one time say that in a loaf of bread, those atoms that make up that loaf of bread, or just one slice of bread, that there is enough power, energy in those atoms to power an ocean liner across the ocean and back. But they can't release that power. These atoms, you know, have a nucleus, and then they have these electrons that go around it. And technically speaking, the atoms should be flying apart, but there is something that holds these atoms, molecules, every part of creation together, and they remain locked together. There's only been a few unstable atoms that we can split, like plutonium and uranium, that they make, you know, the atomic bombs from. But those are unstable atoms. The average atom, like in a slice of bread, there's still power in it. They just don't know how to split it. What is it that holds this together? According to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it's the power of His Word, or the Word of His power, that holds all of creation together. If God was to ever break His Word, if one of His promises to us did not come to pass, you and I, the universe, would self-destruct. Now, I know there's a lot of people that have never thought about that, and you aren't sure that that's true, but I believe that's exactly what Hebrews 1:3 is saying. There's other places God cannot lie, and I believe that God upholds the integrity of His Word that much. Now, the reason I'm bringing all of this out is to say that when He created Adam and Eve, it says in Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." In verse 28, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over everything that moveth upon the earth." So God gave man control of this earth. Let me use another passage of Scripture out of Psalms 115, and I believe it's verse 16. Psalms 115, and in verse 16 it says, "The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath He given to the children of men." And there's other scriptures that go along with this, Psalms chapter 8, and many other places. But the Lord created the heavens and the earth. And of course, all power, all authority, all dominion, everything comes from God. He is the Creator. He originated everything. There is not anything made that He didn't make, is what it says in John chapter 1, verse 3. All things were created by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And so, everything comes from God. But when He created the heavens and the earth, then He spoke with His Word, which becomes a contract. It becomes binding to God. He cannot lie. And He told Adam and Eve, "You have dominion. You rule. You subdue. You control." And by Him saying that, He bound Himself and what He can do. You know, this is so obvious to me. Once you see it, yeah, I see it. Kind of like one of those, I've seen some of these, I don't know what they call them, but they're pictures that have a hidden picture inside of it. And at first glance, you just see this like geometric pattern. But if you'll stare at it, all of a sudden, you know, some 3D image comes out. And it's hard to see, but once you see it, every time you look at that thing, it just pops out. You can see it once you've seen that thing. And this is the way it is. Once you understand that God will not violate His Word, and He gave dominion and control of this earth, the management, if you want to use that word, of this earth to mankind. Once God did that, God limited His intervention and His control of things that happen on this earth. That is so simple. And yet, religious people come along all of the time and they say, "Why did God let this person die? It must be God's will." And they just suppose that nothing happens without God approving it. God has to give approval. They don't understand that God gave dominion of this earth to physical human beings. John chapter 4, verse 24 says, "God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." God is a spirit. He didn't have a physical body. And therefore, by God's own words that came out of His mouth, God no longer controlled, dominated, had dominion. He was no longer subduing the creation. He gave that responsibility, power, and authority to mankind. And God never intended for us to turn this over to the devil. But when that happened, God didn't just come down and, like men would, say, "Well, this is not what I intended. I take back all my dominion. I take back all of my power. I don't care what I said. You didn't do what I wanted to, so I'm not going to let you have dominion anymore, and I'm going to straighten this thing out." Now, see, that's the way that most people would do it. If you did something, if you started a business and you turned it over to somebody to run, and then they messed it up, most of us would just intervene, step in and say, you're fired. I'm going to get somebody else, and you would get in and take control. But God gave dominion over this earth to mankind, and He didn't put any qualifications on it. He didn't say, if you follow me, if you rule the earth the way that I want you to rule the earth, then you can have dominion. No, He gave dominion to Adam and Eve unconditionally, no strings attached. Now, that is really significant because it means that God, by doing that, limited His control. You know, I don't claim to be the best manager and boss that ever was. I'm learning a lot. I've brought in some people who have business sense, and they're teaching me a lot of things. But, you know, one of the things that I have learned over the years is that when I put somebody in a position of leadership in my ministry and help me to do something, if I say, you do this, and then I sit there and micromanage and look at everything they do and say, no, do this, do this, do this. And you know what? It'll kill the ability of that person to fulfill their job. You've not only got to give a person responsibility, but you've got to give them the authority to carry out that responsibility. It has to be truly theirs. And even if they mess up, you need to let them operate. Now, again, I think that in business, there's limits to this. And if a person's just totally messing up, there's time to fire a person and go on. But I'm saying God, in a sense, He did this with mankind. He gave us the rulership of this earth, and He didn't put any restrictions on it. He didn't say, as long as you meet these goals, as long as you operate this way, I'm going to let you have dominion. No, He gave an unconditional dominion to men. And remember, John 4:24 says, God is a spirit. God didn't have a physical body. He gave control of this earth to people with physical human bodies. And when we messed up and sold out to the devil, Satan began to start dominating, and he became the god of this world. He's referred to that way in a number of different scriptures. Where did he become the god of this world? It was because Adam and Eve were originally the gods of this world. Not capital G in the sense of divinity and like God. They were a created being. They weren't the ones who created all things. But they were given absolute control and in a sense became a god of this world. I think it's Psalms chapter 82. Let me see if I can find this scripture quickly. But Jesus quoted this in the New Testament when He was criticized by the Pharisees, and He quoted this verse, Psalms 82:6, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. And Jesus quoted that because He had said He was the Son of God, and they said, by saying you're the Son of God, you have made yourself God. Who are you? And He quoted this verse where God Himself referred to mankind and said, you are all gods, not capital G, but a small g. You are absolute dictator authority here in this earth. And Jesus quoted this and applied it to Himself, and He was able to silence the Pharisees through doing that. But God called us gods, not capital G, not divine, but we had absolute control. There were no restrictions on it. And when He did that, He limited His control of this earth. And again, I just say it amazes me how people, when a person dies, says, well, you know, God must have a purpose for this. We know that God works this together for good somehow. And they just assume that God controls every person that dies. They say, well, your time has come, like God's got a date circled on a calendar in heaven, and that's your time to die. Those things are not true. Moses said this over in Psalms chapter 90. He says that the days of a man's life are 70 years and 10. 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their time, you know, labor and travail. And so he says right there that God has allotted everybody 70 years. It's not that He's got that date circled and it's 70 years, you're up. We know that some people die younger. We know that people die older. And it made allowance for this. And it says, and if you're strong and go to live to where you're 80. So that shows you that God doesn't have a specific amount of time scheduled for you. When God said that the days of man's years are 70 years and 10, that wasn't a maximum, it was a minimum. In other words, death sin actually would snuff out people's lives earlier than that, but God has allotted us 70 years. Now, you can still violate that. You can commit suicide. You can get a disease. You can do things. You can not take care of yourself. You can die of cirrhosis of the liver. You can get sexually transmitted diseases that will end your life. And there's just a lot of things you can do to fluctuate this, but I'm saying God has given us, according to Moses in Psalms chapter 90, 70 years, and if you're strong, you can go 80 years or beyond. And so that shows you that God doesn't just control this. And yet people just all the time assume that, well, if this person is sick, if this marriage fell apart, if this happened, if that happened, it couldn't happen without God's will. That isn't so. God gave the control of this earth to mankind. And this is the reason that Jesus had to become a man. Because man sold out this power and authority to the devil. He became the god of this world. And Satan was taking advantage of us. He was destroying human life. He was destroying our joy and our peace. He was destroying people's lives. And God wanted to intervene. But how could he do it without interfering to the command that he had given man? This is yours. You rule over it. You do with it what you want to do. God never intended for us to do what we've done and sell out to the devil. But he was committed to us being the ruler of this earth regardless of whether our decisions were good or bad. You know, I one time gave a car to a guy who was an employee of mine, and it was a really nice car. It was the nicest car we had ever had. We drove it a couple of years, and we gave this car to this employee. And after a couple of months, he came to me and he says, I've actually found a brand new car, and if I could use this car as a trade-in, then I could get this brand new car at a reduced price. And he says, is that okay if I do that? Would you give me permission to do that? And I looked at him and I said, Clark, I don't care what you do. It's your car. I said, if you want to park it out front and sell, you know, for $10, let people hit it with a sledgehammer and make money off of it. I said, it's your car. It's not my car. And he was just amazed. But see, I gave it to him. It was his to do with what he wanted. Now, I wouldn't have been pleased if he had just wrecked it or done something that trashed it. But you know what? I gave it to him. It was his car. He could do with it whatever he wanted to. And see, a person who gives something with strings attached and you're going to monitor it and you're only going to let this person do certain things, that's not truly a gift. And that can actually become a noose around your neck that causes problems. God gave control of this earth with no reservations to Adam and Eve. And when they gave it up, now God was in a position where he could not just come down and intervene and wipe out the devil and redeem mankind and do all of these things because he did not have control. That is really simple. And it answers a lot of things. God is not the author of all of these wars. Matter of fact, in the book of James chapter 4, it says, whence come wars and fightings among you? Don't they come of your own lust that war in your members? In other words, God's not the one that starts these wars. God's not the one that makes people go out and rape and plunder and lie and steal. And God's not the one that causes all of this stuff. Man, that's important. If you don't understand that, you are going to have a skewed impression of God. You're going to blame God for the deaths of people that you've loved. You're going to blame God when something fails and you prayed and it didn't work out. And you're going to think, if he was God, he could have just fixed this. God gave control of this earth to physical human beings, and we are the ones that loosed the devil into this earth, and we are the ones that let all of this mayhem and all of these things happen. And God was a spirit. He wasn't a man, and therefore he could not just intervene and fix the things. This explains why God had to become a man, why the Word had to become flesh. See, this was one of those questions that I had about God. Why did you have to do it this way? Couldn't you have done it some other way? It was man that had control of the earth. As this verse that I read, that he has given us the heavens, even the heavens of the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he gave to the sons of man. He gave control over this earth to us, to physical human beings. And when it got out of control, the only way he could bring it back and redeem it and fix the problem that we had made was to become a man. You know, there's a passage of scripture. The Lord was speaking and he says, I sought for a man who would stand in the gap. And I wondered that there was nobody to stand in the gap or to make up the hedge. And so he says, my own right arm will bring me redemption. Basically, this is God just saying that he looked to see if there was any way to redeem and turn this situation back to what he wanted it to be, but he couldn't find a man because all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And all men were therefore disqualified from being a Savior because they themselves were sinful and they were already corrupted. A corrupted person cannot redeem another corrupted person. God himself had to become a man. God himself needed to gain flesh so that he would not break his word that he says he gave those physical human beings authority over this earth. And if God as a spirit would have just intervened in the affairs of man and have gotten rid of Satan and have destroyed all of these things, it would have broken his promise. It would have broken his command, his word that he gave to Adam and Eve. So God had to become a man. The word had to become flesh. God had to enter into a physical body in order to redeem mankind. Man, that is powerful to me. And it shows a number of things, but one of the things it really speaks to me is about how much integrity God has, how much importance he puts on his words. Adam and Eve literally sold this world out to the devil, unleashed a demonic force on this earth that has caused terrible, terrible pain and suffering. And even though the situation was so grave and it was so, I mean, dangerous, and it needed to be fixed, God would not break his word. God would not just say, King's X, I'm changing things. I don't like the way it's going. God was bound by his own word. He swore to his own hurt and he wouldn't change. And even though it took 4,000 years to arrange all of the things necessary for Jesus to become flesh and become a physical man, God did all of those things. He was patient because he is bound by his word. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 18, he cannot lie. And man, that really, really encourages me about the integrity of this Bible and how I can trust these things. I can see it and I can see that God himself has obligated himself and bound himself by the word. So that really answers a lot of questions for me about why he had to become flesh. Mankind, physical human beings, are the ones that caused the problem. Therefore, a physical human being who had authority from God over this physical natural world had to be the way that this problem was solved. And it couldn't be a sinful human person. It had to be one that was sinless, who wasn't himself in bondage and slavery to the devil because of his own sin. So therefore, Jesus, God himself, became a man, but a sinless man. Now Satan was in big trouble because here was God in the flesh. He had been using man kind of as a shield, and now God was in the flesh.
I had grown up with God puts us through things to make us stronger people. You get healed if it's God's will. And if you don't get healed, then he wants you to go through it.
Listening to things that people said, like, you know, God's trying to teach you something. He doesn't heal everybody, he heals some people.
I heard people talking at church about, you know, God had a different plan and God made me sick.
The way I was raised, God would get you.
I felt like God had punished me.
I grew up in church.
I was raised in church.
A denomination that was very legalistic.
I came from a Baptist background.
I'm come from a Catholic.
I was raised a preacher's kid.
I was a missionary kid, grew up on the mission field, taught the Bible my whole life, got saved at 4 years old.
And I had been in and out of church since I was 5 years old.
I was saved when I was 8, and I was saved just to stay out of hell.
Saved and stuck.
Until we heard about Andrew Womack, and he began to explain.
And Andrew just countered all of that with the Bible.
No one had ever explained those scriptures so beautifully.
And then everything you've studied for your whole life, all of a sudden it comes into sync. It's like, pow.
The Spirit came over and just went, whoop, and it all lined up.
That clicked, and all of a sudden things became so real and so understandable.
And you get this revelation on the inside of you.
And I wept. I sat on the side of the road and I wept.
All of a sudden, the Bible made sense.
And now, I live in the blessings of God.
My life just changed. And it changed for the better.
Life has just gotten better and better.
Life is good when you have hope.
And God is just good.
We have a life now that we've never had before in every area.
What I found was victory, where we didn't have any before.
I really am grateful that he submitted to the Lord, because I'm reaping the results of it.
This week's teaching is a condensed version of the complete series titled The Word Became Flesh. The entire teaching was recorded live at a Gospel Truth seminar and is available on either CD or DVD. Or you can get the original five-part DVD series as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Today's TV Offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The second audio teaching in today's series is titled The Word Became Flesh, Part 2. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Christian Philosophy for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Phoenix, Arizona for a special 3-day Gospel Truth Seminar, January 3rd through the 5th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Karis Bible College Men's Advance, January 17th through the 19th. He'll also be in Humble, Texas, January 24th, in San Antonio, Texas, January 26th, in Santa Clara, California, February 7th, in Anaheim, California, February 8th, and in Pasadena, California, February 9th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.